Welcome back to Diary of a Reality Competition Podcast Contestant. I'm Alex Albisu, in for Brian Ibbett, keeping a seat warm while we're getting to know the contestants of Season 1 a little better. Today, we're talking to the one and only Gidget Von LaRue. Let's go. What you're about to hear is an interview that Gidget and I did while we were together at TMS Vegas earlier this year. It was so awesome to meet Gidget in person, especially after spending a ton of time working together towards the later part of the show. Meeting her in person was an absolute pleasure. If you remember, Gidget was one of the top three contestants. It was her, Amy, and me at the end of it all. And we take a little bit of time to reflect on her time during America's Next Top Podcaster. We talk about how important it was for Gidget to meet the people that she did in Vegas. And we also talk about what it was like for her to be a part of this show being halfway across the world. And we also cover what she suggests to those who live outside of the US that might be interested in being a part of this competition in the future. Here's my conversation with Gidget Von LaRue.
Gidget Von LaRue?
Yes. Hi.
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 I see you in person here.
I know. It's freaky, isn't it?
Yeah. So we're live in Vegas right now because we are at the Viva TMS Vegas meetup.
Yep.
And it's been such a blast hanging out with everybody so far. We're about to go downstairs and play some board games. But before that, we are giving you guys a little bit of insight into what it was like for Gidget during this entire thing that we call America's Next Top Podcaster.
Well, I think everyone can hear from my voice, I've been having a very good time. This is just, what is it, day two?
Technically day two.
Yeah. So hopefully they say, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So hopefully I leave this voice behind.
Yeah, well, hopefully.
Yeah.
We've got that golden voice. We got to let that thing heal up. But before we do, we're going to record an interview. So what have you been up to since the competition has ended?
Oh, goodness. Well, I've been busy with my own podcast, obviously, and I've been prepping to come away to crazy, crazy Vegas, which has been a hoot. It was a very long flight. It was like a 13-hour flight from Sydney to here. And then we came across, and it's just been a bit of a blur, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's been brilliant meeting everybody. That's the great thing about it. You speak to all these people, you hear their voices, you get to know them, you feel like you know them.
Yeah.
But it's a whole different level when you actually meet someone face to face. And the whole, you know, Frog Pants Network people have just been amazing. Their wives have been brilliant. They've just been really friendly and you know, just really up for anything and really great with everybody.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I felt like, you know, they say be careful about meeting your heroes. Meet your heroes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody has said that before, but it's so true in this case. What did it mean for you to, like, need to come to Vegas to meet all these people? Like, you traveled a long way. Was it that important to you?
I think it was a combo of things. The chance that this was happening.
Yeah.
So I'd be crazy to miss out. I didn't have to take time off work. And, you know, I've been to Vegas once before, but it was mostly to just catch up with everybody.
Sure.
And it would have been nice to meet all the people that are in America's Next Top Podcaster, but you're all out there listening. And so, hi to you. And I'm sure we'll all get around to meeting all of us one day. And if the competition keeps going, there might be an All Stars or, you know, cast reunion or something like that. And hopefully it'll be in Australia.
So, hey, maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe it won't be America's Next Top Podcaster. It'll be Earth's Next Top Podcaster.
The world's next top podcaster.
Yeah. And maybe that's an opportunity for you and me to go head-to-head again.
Ooh.
I love it. And what did it mean for you to be in the top three? Me and Amy. That was an amazing experience.
That was a spin out. First of all, I never thought I was going to get on. Second of all, when I got on, I thought, I'm gone first week. And then I just kept thinking that each week. I kept thinking, you know, all you can do is your best work, and it's working with a team, and all you can do is put out the best product that you can. But when it finally got to final three, I'm like, how am I still in this? And I'm probably a lot of people listening were thinking the same thing.
No, you were such a natural. That's the thing that I loved about you, that a lot of people talk about why they really like you. We've met a lot of fans here in Vegas of the show and of you specifically, talking about how they really were drawn to you because of your personality, the way you come across, very genuine. Mm. Your voice helps.
not this voice.
Well, not that voice, but the regular Gidget voice. So, I mean, what was that like meeting some people that have been so supportive of you through this process?
It's a really crazy sensation, because with podcasting, you're sort of hiding away a little bit because you're not out there on television. You're not in a movie. You're not being visually seen. So it is that most of us just record a podcast tucked away in a study or a cupboard somewhere, not thinking how many people are listening to you, not thinking what influence you're having on people, unless you're getting direct feedback. So coming here and then meeting all these people that come up and like, oh, Gidget, we loved you in the competition, and, you know, we thought you were great. And a lot of the girls, I think that's the best compliment. A lot of the girls are like, we can tell that you're quite a strong personality, but you're very easygoing, and we like that you just say what you think. And that's the biggest compliment of all, is they just loved my attitude and my nature and all that. So thank you very much, because trust me, I appreciated all the feedback from everybody.
Yeah, good. And it's well-deserved. You do a very
thank
good
you.
Job. You and I had opportunities to work together, and I loved it. I had a great time working with you.
Thank
but, you.
You
know, part of the struggle of this competition was just dealing with the time differences.
Yeah.
For you being halfway around the world, how was that, how did you feel like you were able to really shuffle that along? I mean, you have a weird sleep schedule.
I do.
First of all.
Yeah.
But like, was it important for you to keep up a cadence with the team that's based in America? And like, how did you feel like you were able to successfully do that?
It was one of those things. I do keep weird hours, but most of the time when the recording was happening, it was America's nighttime and that was my morning, and usually I'm not too great in the morning, so I just had to restyle my timing and my sleeping patterns. And I did that for the entire term of the, because I originally missed the very first team meeting, and I thought, I'm not going to do that again, so I really need to sort out when I'm sleeping, when I get up, you know, that I'm not just rolling out of bed and suddenly getting on the microphone, because, you know, otherwise you sound druggy and, you know, dozy and stuff like that. So, yeah, I did completely reschedule how late I stayed up at night, how long I slept, all that sort of thing, so that I could fit in with the times for the American timing. And that was for the meetings, the recordings, and then obviously the judging as well. The talking with Tom, or talking with whoever the specialist was that week, talking with Brian, all that sort of thing. I mean, it was kind of a four-day process, but I got into a format. Even I kept on the weekend the same sleeping patterns during the competition, but once the competition was over, I just went back to my old bad habits.
Well, you're a champion for,
thank you,
for
Alex.
Dealing with your time difference there and working with us in the States.
Hey, you're a champion. You got to number two. Well done.
Well, let me ask you that. I mean, when you were kicked off, did you feel like that was just devastating, or were you?
I was ready for it. I was ready for it. I had a feeling. I thought I was actually gone the time before. Actually, no, I always thought I was gone every week. So I was always mentally prepared for it, especially if you were the bottom team.
Yeah.
The minute you were called bottom team, you're like, all right, which one of it is it? You know. And there was some boot offs that I didn't expect, and there was some boot offs that I did expect. But yeah, look, I could be was appreciative to get to number three. And the fact that by that time I'd already decided that I was going to come to Vegas, no matter what, whether I came, you know, fourth, third, second, or first, I thought, I'm coming to Vegas, so, you know, there's a silver lining. And the great thing is the relationships kept going with all the Frog Pants people and Brian and Scott and everybody. So, all I could be was grateful that they had me on the competition. And, you know, that day that I got the boot, you know, I didn't cry or anything like that. I was just like, okay, fair enough. The two, you and Amy, deserve to be the top two. And that's all I could think. And I would congratulate to Amy for winning it.
Right.
But I'm sure between the two of you, it was a very, very tight race.
It was. And I couldn't think of anybody, you know, more deserving than Amy, just knowing her, what she kind of did to I think a lot about her journal, like her diary segment.
Yeah.
That was just... There's a lot of rawness that came out of that, and you know, it fully rounded out her ability in my eyes as just a fantastic podcaster. Not that any of us aren't, but she's just She really is awesome at what she does.
Yeah, the diary one, as soon as I heard that, I thought that'd be hard to beat. Even if everyone was still in the competition, if it was week one and that was the challenge and everyone put in their diaries or 12 contestants, Amy still would have won.
Right.
That's how good that was.
Yeah. What would you say to somebody maybe looking at season two or season three down the road that wants to be part of this competition and they live outside of the United States? And they are dealing with the time differences.
Yep.
What do you think is the key for those people to succeed like you have?
I think it just, you need the time. It helps that, I mean, if you're somebody that works incredibly long hours, it's just going to be a lot tougher to try and schedule in your timing because most people work 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. So if you work in, if you're in a different country on a different time zone from, and I know America's on different time zones as well, and even, you know, if you live in America, you're obviously, you know, if you're in California and it was recorded in New York or something like that, you're going to have different times.
Right.
So everyone's going to have to shift around, but it's just finding that availability. But if you have got that availability and you can make it work and you do want to be a part of it, just do it. And don't think just because it's America's Next Top Podcast, you won't be a part of it, because I'm the perfect example of that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Now, you are a known entity now in this Frog Pants community. What's next for you?
Oh, fame and fortune and...
We both laugh maniacally like that.
Oh, we just chuckle away. I don't know. I'm getting a lot of advice from a lot of people. So I don't know. I'm one of these sort of people, I live for today. So who knows what's around the corner, but I don't... You know, in my head, I'm not thinking that. In my head, I'm not thinking, oh, I'm just going to be this big personality or anything like that. I just think, let's just see what happens.
Because you
don't know. You don't know what's, around the corner.
Yeah. I like to wrap up the conversation with contestants and the judges and such by asking the question, what was your biggest surprise about this whole competition?
Getting on the competition.
Oh, okay. That's different.
Yeah. Getting that email from Brian saying, congratulations, you're going to be a part of this competition.
What did that mean to you?
That was just huge. Yeah. I did one of those sort of things that, you know, when a dog gets excited when you get home from work and it just runs around a circle. I did that. I ran around in a circle and my partner got home from work. He's like, what are you doing? And I'm going, I'm on the competition. And he's like, why are you running around a circle? I said, I'm excited. That was the biggest shock because I entered just thinking, you know, they can only say no. And that's always my theory about anything. It's worth trying something because if you expect they're going to say no, that everything else is going to be better. So, but when I got that email, that was my biggest shock.
Was it a sense of validation?
Absolutely. Yeah, because they had to listen to we all had to enter our own private podcast. So they'd obviously listened to that. And turns out, actually, I remember when we had our reunion and everyone was curious who was the person that paid to be, because there was one person that could contribute the money and get onto the competition. And everyone was wondering who it was. Well, it turns out it wasn't any of us. It was a listener, an avid listener of the morning stream and all their podcasts. He contributed the money. And then supposedly I was in a group of 10 people that they were sort of tossing up who to put in the competition. And he didn't, it's a chap, I don't know what his name is, but thank you very much. He didn't want to be in the competition, he just wanted to contribute. And so they left it up to him. They're like, out of these 10 people, who would you have on the competition? And he picked me.
That's amazing.
That was the story. So
And look at where it's led you. You're now months later here in Las Vegas with all these people, with me.
Yes.
And I'm so
in your
happy
room.
We're sitting here in my hotel room. It's funny, we were downstairs, so we're getting ready to go down and do the board game thing, and everybody's congregating out there. I just recorded the interview with Tom Merritt, which you've likely heard now at this point. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't, I forgot. but everybody just started talking and talking and talking. I'm like, oh, we have to find someplace else to do this.
Yeah,
so we are up here.
It's nice and quiet.
Nice and quiet.
Yeah, and after this, we're just going to trash the room. So
yes, party. Like, we are in Vegas.
Rocking it, man.
We are rocking and rolling.
You can hear this sofa is going out that window.
Yeah, we're doing this, what is that?
Hangover style.
Hangover style.
Yeah.
We're going to have some fun.
Yep.
Well, Gidget, thank you very much. You have been an absolute pleasure to work with.
Thank you, Alex, and so have you.
I've loved meeting you here in person.
Thank you so much. It's been brilliant. Thank you, everybody.
And there you have it. That is Gidget Von LaRue. Thank you very much. And again, it was such a pleasure to meet you in person, Gidget. I love the friendship that we've built. It's been awesome staying in touch over the internet via Twitter. Go follow her on Twitter. You can also check out her podcast, the Retro Cinema Podcast. You can find it really wherever podcasts are found. Now, if you'd like to reach us, you can email toppodcaster@gmail.com. This has been Alex Albisu filling in for Brian Ibbett on America's Next Top Podcaster, the special Diary of a Reality Competition podcasting contestant segment. We'll see you guys next time.